At 8 o'clock, we have the program Turning Point, a call-in program live. You don't want to miss it. It's always very informative and provocative, discussing various Christian issues. You want to stay tuned for that, all right? AM 1540 ZN is one, your favorite station, the National Voice.
This is AM 1540 in Nassau.
Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to another Turning Point Presents. This afternoon, Turning Point Ministry presents the Sabbath Revisited. If you listen to us on September 11, you will know that we spoke about the Sabbath, and because of the calls and the response that we got, we are going to continue that subject tonight. And let's hope that after tonight, we would all have a good view of what the Sabbath entails and how we as Christians in today's world should respond to it. The telephone numbers here are 325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5405. And if you're calling from the family of violence, you can call us toll-free, and that is 1-242-300-8255. This afternoon, we have Brother Paul Miller in the studio with us, the director of Turning Point Ministries, and your host this evening is Julian Miller. Renrick is not with us today. As a matter of fact, Renrick is in Switzerland. And good evening, Renrick. Well, I should say good morning, because I think it's about 2 o'clock in Switzerland, and he's listening to us on the internet, and we're hoping that he will call into this afternoon or tomorrow or in the morning for him. Brother Paul, before we get into some of the questions and to the audience, could you tell us why, as the director of Turning Point Ministry, you decided to revisit this subject on the Sabbath?
Just before I said, Brother Julian, just to say a word of prayer.
Yeah.
How much grace and heavenly Father, once again, to give us an opportunity to speak to the nation of your people tonight. Once again, we ask for divine guidance, clear minds, and a double up hearts of your Holy Spirit. Not only upon the lives of Turning Point Ministries, but the lives of your people scattered all around the world and even in the Bahamas. At the end of this program tonight, Father, we pray that we be lift you up from the sin curse out, and that men, women, boys, and girls will understand the time has come for us to make a decision to follow you all the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul, and amen. My first question again, like I said, before we broke for prayer, is why did you decide to go out again at the Sabbath question?
Well, Brother Julian, in the Bahamas and all around the world, the big question mark is the Sabbath very important? Some people don't think it is. You know, a lot of us know that it really is based on our studies from the Word of God. And a lot of people had a lot of questions concerning the Sabbath day. So tonight we decide to speak to the nation once again, but it's very most important topic, because James says in James chapter 2, if you should break one of God's laws, definitely we have broken all of them. And tonight a lot of our brothers in radio land and people around the world are standing, some guilty of this commandment, because some of them already know the facts, but for some reason they decide not to follow the facts. Then some of them are ignorant of the facts, and tonight we would like to share to those people who are ignorant of the facts what the truth is about God's holy Sabbath day according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11.
Okay, now I'm sure one of the questions that, well, I ask, and I'm sure many of our listeners who listen to us regularly, and those of the listening audience this afternoon who don't, Turning Point has a program that comes on every Sunday at 2 p.m. on the same station, 1540, and we take on a whole lot of questions that come up from time to time. So, Brother Paul, the question I have for you now is, what do you hope to accomplish with this program, or even dealing with the Sabbath?
Well, Brother Julian, I like to allow the Lord to work upon the hearts of His people tonight. We don't have the power in order to change the lives of people. Only the Holy Ghost can work upon the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls to do the things that are pleasing in the sight and in the right of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have no power of our own. And the Bible says the time has come for us to lift up the standard, to cry aloud and spare not, and show God's people their transgressions. And tonight we hope that whatever is shared, our brothers and sisters in Radio Land will take the opportunity to write down the facts and write down the scriptures so they can search them through to see if what we are saying is true. And if it is, by all means, the time will come when you have to make a decision to go all the way with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
One of the questions that has come up from time to time as we listen to persons comment or comment on our show, be it the Turning Point Revisited, sorry, Turning Point Presents, or our Turning Point program on Sunday afternoons, they say that from time to time it seems as if you are bashing certain denominations, or you hold a vehement disagreement, or you're trying to attack certain denomination. Is this true, Brother Paul?
No, it's not, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, Brother Julian, if you should go back in time, all churches would have different name titles attached to them, used to stand on different principles. But today, because of the ecumenical movement and also the World Council of Churches, churches now begin to bury their doctrines, and they're coming together under one umbrella, hoping at the end of the day they will be sorted out and God will take us all home. But based on the Bible, there's no such thing. Because God said himself, Jesus, as a matter of fact, when he was on the cross, he prayed that we should be one, even as him and his Father were one. So the time has come for us to be one based on God's word. There should be no division among us, according to the Apostle Paul. The principle still stands. There's one Lord, there's one faith, and there's one baptism. Now, most people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but when it comes to the baptism, well, there are many types of baptism today. Some children got baptized at a tender age of just 2 years old, or maybe just a few months, by the sprinkling of water. But we know, based on the word of God, following the example of Jesus Christ, our Savior, he went down into the water and come up and walk in the newness of life. And the same thing is required of us, because he said, whosoever is not baptized the right way will be damned. Most people will say, well, they stand on the true faith. But when you question them based on the word of God, why they do some of the things that they say are faith, when we try to ask them whether those faith principles found in the word of God, they cannot find them. Because the same Bible says that faith come by hearing and hearing of the word of God.
Telephone numbers here in the studio this afternoon, if you want to contact us with a question or comment. Turning Point Presents, The Sabbath Revisited. The telephone numbers here are 325-5403, 325-5404, and 325-5405 for those living in Nassau. Those of you who are listening to us on the Family of Islands, we want to say a special welcome to you this afternoon. And you could reach us toll-free. That means you don't have to pay for the call. Just dial 1-242-300-8255. Our producers are manning the phones, and we're just waiting for calls and questions or comments to come in. But Paul, you made a statement about division. So then, if there should be no divisions, give us maybe your reasoning why there's so many different denominations and churches that we have today.
Well, they've departed from the word of God. They forget the principle. I think they have forgotten the principle. I don't think they should have, because it's a familiar one by most Christians, Matthew 4:4, where Jesus says, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, most of us want to live by the bread that God has provided through the wheat, or we want to live by the fruits or the water that he has planted into the ground. But when it comes to living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we have a problem with this. Sometimes it cuts across our so-called particular lifestyle. We don't want to change the way we conduct ourselves. And we know all people who don't want to change their lifestyle, the Bible calls them rebellious people. And rebellion, the Bible says, is a sin of witchcraft. So today, even without going to the obeah person, you can be practicing witchcraft just by rebelling against the word of God.
You also mentioned this World Council of Churches. Could you tell our audience what that is, please, if you have that information available this evening?
Well, in a nutshell, Brother Julian, the World Council of Churches is different denominations coming together under one umbrella, like I said earlier, to dictate how churches should conduct themselves. As a matter of fact, the last time I visited the World Council of Church website or some other news website, I saw that, well, they were trying to come up with a code of ethics on the way they speak among themselves, that they don't offend each other when they open their mouth speaking on doctrinal issues based on God's word. The most thing they want to preach is, let's preach love. But how can you preach love without the doctrines of Christ? Because even Christ himself said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandment. And each commandment is a presentation of the character of God. And today the whole world is crying out, what can we do to make it better? Well, it's only because men have rejected God's law that things are haywire all around the world. Just on the news today and CNN, there was a young man, I won't show you a young man, an elderly settled man. Something happened in his past, and he went to one of the high schools in America, and he killed 3 of the young ladies, if I'm not mistaken, and he injured a few others because of sin. because of selfishness. Jesus says in Matthew 24, because of iniquity, the love of many would wax cold. Iniquity simply means if you know it's wrong for you to be sweetheart and you continue to sweetheart, then it shifts from transgression and sin to iniquity. Iniquity simply means if you know Saturday is the seven-day Sabbath and you continue to keep Sunday, then that's iniquity. There's no escape, ladies and gentlemen. You must follow the Bible principles if you want to be saved. And like Jesus, the perfect gentleman that he is, he's not going to force you. You have to surrender yourself to him day by day like he surrendered himself to his heavenly Father. He steps in, he empowers you to do that which is right. And that's why you hear him say that we must do the good works, that he must be glorified, because he is the one that has empowered us to do that which is right.
Brother Paul, we got Brother Willie from Andrus. Let's go to him on the phone. Go ahead, Brother Willie.
Hello, how you all doing?
We doing fine.
Listen, we had a discussion before, and I'd like for you to please explain this to me. I want you to write them down as I call them, please. Numbers chapter 35, verse 22 through 34. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7 through 17, Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 through 21, Matthew chapter 5, verse 30, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, Luke 1 through 37, Luke chapter 18, 1 through 14, and Galatians 4, 14 through 20. Now, when you all can explain that to me in detail, then maybe I would say you all are on the right track. But right now, I have a tendency to say you all are on the wrong track. Now, that is my belief. I may be wrong. Until you explain to me where I'm wrong, I would hold fast to the belief that I now have. If you can explain, just explain Numbers 35, verse 22 through 34, and let me see where it isn't profitable for a man to kill a man if he kills another man unlawfully.
So tonight we're dealing with the Sabbath, because we had questions on our last show on September 11th, and so we're dealing with that. Also in the studio this afternoon, for us to go through those seven texts, and some of them are 10, 15 verses, I think, but we can't do that tonight. I'll be honest with you on that. We couldn't go through that. What we can do, however, is we could put you back on to the producers. And we could get your number, and we will...
And you will call me back, like you promised one time you didn't, and you did one time.
And we will also go to each of these texts on our program about 3 weeks from now. We'll go to each one of these texts until we go to all seven of them to tell the nation what it is you're saying here about this text here, Brother Winky.
Please do that for me, please? I'd appreciate it.
As a matter of fact, I would call you. I'll call you whenever that program is going to be aired, and then we can do the dialogue if you want to do it like that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Brother Paula, that's a very interesting... The producer just telling me that we have Marlene online. If you are...
I'm holding on.
No, Winky, we can let you go now. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. We have Marlene on the line right now, and for you... who regularly listen to our show, you know that Marlene used to bring on the health topics for Turning Point, but Marlene and her family has moved to New York, and she's calling in, so we're just going to let her have a little say this afternoon.
But before we go to Marlene, we have a treat coming up, Brother Julian. 2 weeks, next Sunday and the following week Sunday, we're going to be running two of our old programs on Living the Victorious Life, and there'll be two health nuggets in those two segments.
Yes, Marlene? Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing fine.
How you doing?
I'm not fine because I can't hear you guys. I'm not tuning in. Goodness has cut us off the internet for some reason tonight. It's not going through.
Okay.
But that's okay. I'm still tuned in by way of telephone.
Okay.
A great thing to have these internet telephone so you can call anywhere, you know? Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. But I have a message on my heart for the Bahamian people tonight, as in regards to the Sabbath. If you'll give me a few minutes, at least two or three, I won't take the entire show, but
we'll
I would
you,
like to share.
We'll give you a few minutes. We'll give you about 2 minutes, and then you can call back later
okay.
on the show.
That's fine by me.
Go
That's
ahead.
Fine by me. But I have a question to ask our listening audience, and the question I have is that if we were to go shopping, if as a lady, I love to shop, especially for household items, things that we really need. If I were to go shopping, say, to Kelly's or here in the United States, we have all the Walmarts and the shopping plazas and what have you, the malls, and I were to purchase a case of 10, you know, a case of China plates with 10 in there, and I came home and I found that just one of my China plates were broken, just one. Do you think I would return the entire thing and get my money back, or would I just simply go and get and have them replace the one broken plate? I think I would have them replace the one broken plate because I love the China plates. I mean, I really needed these plates. I want these plates. It's a set. And I don't want to break the set. I don't want the set to be short by one. So I would go and I would try to have the company, wherever it is, replace that one plate. There are many people who, for whatever reason, seem to think that we as Adventist Christians, we harp on the Sabbath too much. And I know there are many people who are saying, yes, amen, preach it, lady. But you know what's the problem? The problem is that there are many Christian people all over the world tonight who have been obeying all of the other 9 commandments. And it is only one that we have a problem with. And it is that one law that we are trying so hard to help people to realize that it is important that we have a full understanding of this one law that will bring blessing and it will bring honor to God. And, you know, as one of my favorite authors, Ellen G. White, says in Christ's Object Lesson, she says this: there are some people who seem to be always seeking for the heavenly pearl, but they do not make an entire surrender of their wrong habits. They do not die to self that Christ may live in them. Therefore, they do not find the precious pearl. Listen to this. It says that they have not overcome unholy ambition and their love for worldly attractions. They do not take up the cross and follow Christ in the path of self-denial and sacrifice. You see, to keep the Sabbath, it's sacrifice. It's self-denial, because there are many people who are in jobs, who are in positions, who are in the glamour and the glitz of life, who are enjoying the Sabbath day as a part of their own, you know, they're doing their own thing. The quote continues to say this: we are almost Christians, yet not fully Christians. We seem near the kingdom of heaven, but cannot enter there. Almost but not wholly saved means to be not almost but wholly lost. We are going to find ourselves right out of the kingdom, and almost is not good enough. We need to keep all of God's Lord. As the psalmist tells us, he says that the law of God defines sin. How are we going to know, I mean, where we are if we don't have anything to build our foundation on? Any society, or for this matter, any family that turns its back on the moral principles of God's law is headed for chaos. Just today in the news, just today, we have an entire little Amish community here in Pennsylvania where 3 children were killed for no reason. Last week, the same thing. Every day in the news, there's some horror going on. There's no place safe. I don't care where you go. But do you know what's the problem? The problem is that we have taken our minds away from the law of God. And if we can just realize that we need to get ourselves back on track and to keep the whole law of God, God will honor that. And the problem is that there are too many people, too many leaders who are not saying what needs to be said. You know, and the sad part is that many of the leaders have the opportunity to do it. They have the money to do it. Because of their church, the money's coming in for tithe and offering or whatever, but they refuse. And I like to quote another text, and then I'm going to cut off and then come back later on with some other quotes.
Yes, please do.
The text I'd like to quote is one that Paul used a whole lot. But it came clear to me today that this is one of the major problems we're having. Isaiah 56:10 to 12, Paul probably can say it by heart. His watchmen, who are the watchmen? Our leaders are blind. They are ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. And I'm not quoting Marlene. I'm quoting the scripture. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they stand. They all look to their own way. They're not looking to Christ. They're not looking for the Holy Spirit's help. They're looking to their own way, everyone for his gain, from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and ye will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. We have been admonished as people to cry aloud, fear not. Lift up the voice like a trumpet, and show the people their transgressions. We are admonished as Christians to get on the wave, however we must do it. By radio, by TV, by satellite, by writing in the newspapers, however you can do it, cheer. Let people know that Jesus is coming soon. And he's coming for a ready people. He ain't coming for people who are almost ready, who are keeping almost all of the commandments. He's coming for people who are keeping all of the commandments, and there are 10 of them.
Thank you very much, Mommy.
Our society, our government, our country, we are in trouble, and we will continue to see hurricanes that will sweep out, that will probably wipe out the entire nation until we choose to do what is right and stand up for right though the heavens fall. So that's my opening quote. I'm going to call back later on my closing.
Thank you very much, Marlene. Ladies and gentlemen, the numbers here are 325-5403, 325-5404, and 325-5405. And a toll-free number from those of you who wish to call from the Family of Islands is 1-242-300-8255. We want to thank Marlene there for her little input. Brother Paul, from your studies of different churches and different denominations, is there any question on which day is the seventh day?
There's no question, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, all of the ministers of the gospel in the Bahamas and around the world has agreed that Saturday is the Sabbath day. If, like we said in our previous shows, if you go on our website, we have a section there called The Churches Speak, and they all agree with us that the members of Turning Point and the Seventh Adventist Church are correct. But the problem is, for some reason, beyond my understanding, I mean, it just baffles my mind, why they don't want to keep it, only God will know. You know, ladies and gentlemen, God does not play. He means what he says. As a matter of fact, if you should get your Bible, and you should go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, it will tell you who it is that the devil hates. And it says the only ones that the devil hate are those who keep the commandments of God, not the testament of Jesus Christ. That's Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon, which is the devil, was wrought with the woman, which is the church, and went to make war with the remnant of the seed, which keep the commandments of God, not the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, if you're not keeping the commandments of God, the devil loves you to death. Because he knows quite clearly that if you and I should be guilty of breaking any of the commandments, we will find ourselves outside the kingdom of God. The devil knows what he is doing, ladies and gentlemen. And like Jesus says in Matthew 24, take heed that no man deceive you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 13, God gave a very strong principle here to the so-called pastors and evangelists and prophets. And as he said, God, he has given some pastors, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints. Who are the saints? Most Christians, they will tell you they are saints. But let us the Bible tell us who are the saints. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 again. Here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. So if you are guilty of breaking any of the commandments, you are not a saint of God. That's Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. The text continues. For the perfection of the saints, for the working and the ministry of the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith. Did you get that? Not to the unity of some of the faith, but in unity of the faith. And to the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure and stature and the fullness of Christ. Why is it we can't come to the unity of the faith that Christ is actually here today? Why? It's because men have rejected the word of God. They want to do things with their way. And be assured, because they want to do it their way, the end result is definitely going to be chaos.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Let's go to the phone lines now. For those who want to reach us and be a part of this program this afternoon, you could give us a call at 325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5405. Or those of you who want to call from the Family of Islands, it's a toll-free call at 1-242-300-8255. So call in with your comments or questions. This is 2 hours, but we now probably going into almost our first half hour. So we have about another hour and 32 minutes of commercial-free discussion this afternoon on the Sabbath Revisited. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, sis. Hello?
I want to ask the gentleman a question.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I'd like to know, could you mentioned Saturday is the Sabbath. I want you to tell me a chapter in the Bible and the voice where they said, the better way Saturday is mentioned. I will hold and listen, please.
Well, I just want to hold on and listen.
You want to hold on?
I'm going to listen to the radio. Yes.
You listen to the radio?
Okay.
All right.
You can call back if I don't know. Well, the Bible does not mention the word Saturday. The word Saturday came from the word Saturn. When men used to worship Saturn or the sun, the Saturn, and they just call it the seven-day Saturday. If you should go take your Bible and go to Luke, that's Luke chapter 23, I think that is. I'm trying to find the text right now so I can read it to you. You will notice a very strong principle laid down here in the book of Luke. That's Luke chapter 23, beginning at verses, we can start at verse 52. That's Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 52, when it says, and this man went to Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulchre that was hewn in stone where never a man was laid. And that day that he asked for the body was called the preparation day, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ornaments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. Before we go to the next verse, the question needs to be asked, which day is the Sabbath day according to the commandments? But if you should go to our Bible in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18-11, it says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. So they rested on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day according to the commandments. If we continue over to the next chapter, that's Luke chapter 24, verse 1, it says, now upon the first day of the week. Now, which day is the first day of the week? Well, according to the dictionary says, Sunday is the first day of the week, the day after Saturday, the day before Monday. So the dictionary says Sunday is the first day of the week. All Christian people that I know says they rest on Sunday in honor of the resurrection. But did Christ tell us to rest on the first day because of the resurrection? No, in Romans chapter 6, he tells you what you must do in honor of the resurrection. He said you must be baptized. That's Romans chapter 6. So the Bible says now upon the first day of the week, as I continue to read, that's Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone know around the world that that is known throughout the world as Easter Sunday, which the Bible calls the first day of the week. Tonight, if you have come across some other facts to show that Sunday is not the first day of the week, it might be Monday or Tuesday or whatever, or Saturday is now the sixth day and Sunday is the seventh day, then we invite you to call in to share with you what your findings are. But based on our research, everyone around the world agree with us that Sunday is the first day of the week, which is known as Easter Sunday when that time comes around. And Saturday, which is the seventh day, what God himself called the Sabbath day. So it is clear that the day he begged for the body of Christ was a Friday. They rested the Sabbath according to the commandments, which is the seventh day. And they rise early that Sunday morning, the first day of the week, to go to prepare the body of Christ. But God, Christ has already risen, and we should be grateful and thankful for that. So today, that's the reason why people worship on Sunday. They worship on Sunday, they say, because in honor of the resurrection. Some say they do it because it's the Lord's Day. Well, if you go to that scripture in Revelation chapter 1, when the apostle John said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, he didn't say which day it was. He just said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. But if you should go to the commandments, here again, right in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, it's talking about the Sabbath being the Lord's day. And even Jesus Christ himself said, speaking about the Sabbath, he is also Lord of the Sabbath.
Brother Paul, on that question, I have another follow-up question to that. Could you read maybe what some of the other churches have to say concerning the Sabbath and read what they have to say? But I just want to tell people that they could visit our website at www.tpministries.org, that they could find some of the quotations of what some of the other churches have said about the Sabbath. That is www.tpministries.org. That is Turning Point's website. There's some information there that may be kind of helpful in your study and information. Thank you.
Reverend Julian, tonight I'm going to read this is a new quote we have never read on that since we were on there. This is right now coming from the book The Fate of Millions by Reverend John A. O'Brien. And he says, "But since Saturday, and not Sunday, is specified in the Bible, isn't it curious that non-Catholics, referring to people who are not Catholics, who profess to keep their religion, who take their religion directly from the Bible, and not from the church, observe Sunday instead of Saturday," he said. "Yes, of course. It is inconsistent. But this change was made about 14 centuries before Protestantism was born. And by that time, the custom was observed universally. They have continued the custom, even though it rests upon the authority of the Catholic Church, not upon any explicit text in the Bible. The observance remain as a reminder of the Mother Church, from which non-Catholic sects broke away. Like a little boy," he said, "they run away from home, but still carries a pocket picture of his mother, or a lock of hair." That's taken from the book Fate of Millions, page 400 and 401. So he says, when churches that are not Catholics, who worship on Sunday, keep Sunday, they are following something that the Roman Catholic Church set up. That is not what I said, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, when we were here on September the 11th, we told the minister of the gospel, who knows this thing backward and forward more better than us, because this is what they do daily, at least that's what they should be doing daily, that if you are saying something wrong, please do all in their power to take us off ZNS. We prefer to be home with our families and to be here lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. I notice my sound touching to you tonight, but tonight is decision time. It's time for us to make a decision. This is the 40th year we've been on Turning Point. Maybe about a year has passed before we presented the Sabbath truth to the nation. I remember the first time we read on air what the Catholic Church said about the change of the Sabbath. I first presented that book to the ZNS staff to ask them if it was okay that I can read that quote on air, because I didn't want to go ahead and read something that I was not permitted to read. And all they said, they make sure that whatever you're reading, you quote your source, and that the book is not a book of some fly by night, but the book is actually what it is. And this is what I quoted the very first time I quoted how the Sabbath changed on ZNS. About 3 years ago, it came from the Converse Catechism of the Catholic Doctrine, written by the Reverend Peter Genuine, and I was quoting from page 50, and this is what you'll find on page 50 of that book. The third commandment, they says, and the reason why the Catholic Church called this the third commandment is because they took out the second commandment, and now what I'm going to quote in their book is the third commandment. And the question was asked, what is the third commandment? The answer was given, the third commandment is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The question was asked, which is the Sabbath day? The answer was given, Saturday is the Sabbath day. The question was asked, why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? The answer was given, we observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. Why did the Catholic Church substitute Sunday for Saturday? The answer was given, the church substitutes Sunday for Saturday because Christ ruled from the dead on Sunday. That's what I read earlier. And the Holy Ghost is sent upon the disciples on a Sunday. Now, that may sound good, ladies and gentlemen, but where is the scripture? There's no scripture. As a matter of fact, the Catholic Church says, in another one of their doctrines, they ask a question to the Protestant brothers and sisters. I'm going to try to find that quote for you. They wrote this a few years ago, that the question needs to be asked. And so as we finish with these callers that are online, I'll read this quote to you, and maybe tonight some minister of the gospel can call and answer this question that the Catholic Church asked a few years ago.
Go ahead, Brother Smith.
Hello.
Hello? Yes, go ahead, brother.
Yes, I would tell the nation and tell the Bahamian people that is
the truth, according to the Hebrew and according to the Tanakh and all the biblical factors. Don't forget, Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the law, not to change it. Okay? So there's ongoing things. But I'd like to ask you all good gentlemen, or whether you're religious or what, but I have a serious indictment with how the Christians call themselves. God didn't give them that name, or whatever the case is. But I'd like to know, at least, if we are going to mainly say we worship him in spirit and truth, if this is true, according to you, I mean, and according to the biblical facts, what he was hung on. So the Bible is supposed to be the history of God's chosen people. Do you know who are the God's chosen people? Who are they? The poor, or whatever. I mean, in the house of Judah, and the other, I would say, Israel nation. Not only that, what is going on? Why does the whole world, according to King James Version, why do they say? We are serious about, speaking the truth. Was he hung on the cross? Huh? Expand on that?
So your question to us this evening is Jesus hung on the cross?
Yes. According to the Jewish, we have in the Bahamas. Let me see if I can temper it with some truth. We have. Can you write a Bahamian story and not tell a Junkanoo? And you cannot, the King James Version, where did King James get their authority from to write about the Jewish culture?
No, sir, what is the question? What's your question, sir?
I would say, isn't the church living a lie about the cross? And they're supposed to be Christian and speaking the truth? Jesus Christ was not hung on the cross. He was hung on a criminal stake, according to the Jewish people. If he is Jewish, why don't you accept all the truths of his relation? He is of the Judean people.
Okay, Brother Smith.
Why don't we accept
Brother
the
Smith.
Fact
Brother
that
Smith.
He,
Brother Smith.
I would say he accepted the poor.
Brother Smith.
And he accepted the black poor.
Brother Smith.
Yes.
Brother Smith. This afternoon, we're really dealing with the Sabbath revisited. Maybe another time, we could take a look at looking at the cross and its significance and its importance and its historical relationship to Christianity today. But this evening, we're not really looking at
okay,
not,
but let me,
we're
let
not
me
looking at that.
You go.
Brother Smith, just let me say something, Brother Smith, before you. In fact, what you can do, Brother Smith, you can give us a call at 322-6273.
Yeah.
That's 322-6273, and we'll be happy to sit down with you to see what facts you've gathered dealing with the cross. And who knows, we'd like to bring you on Turning Point Ministry so you can share with the nation why you're so
convinced.
And
if I could share this with you, the Bible is the history of the Israelites.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to reach a Turning Point off the air, if you want to have some questions or comments that you want to make to us off there, you could give us a call, like Brother Paul said, at 322-6273. But for tonight, if you want to be part of this program, the numbers here in the studio are 325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5405. And for those of you in the family of violence and want to reach, us, you can call us toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. And once again, we'll go back to the phone lines. Yes, go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I would like to ask you whether the Adventists in the Bahamas endorse your teaching on the Sabbath.
Let us say right here, Turning Point is not a branch of the Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. No, we are not a branch of them, sir. We are lay members of the church. That is, we attend the church. We attend the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But we are not an official branch of the Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
So So you don't speak for them?
No, we don't speak for the Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Okay, if you want, my question.
As a matter of fact, if you go to our website, that's tpministries.org, you will discover that the presidents of this ministry is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and we are just the messengers.
Let me get to my question.
Go ahead, sir.
How do we as Christians today supposed to keep the Sabbath? That's the first question. I'll let you hear that, and then I'll answer the,
when you say,
the rest.
What I'm trying to figure out is, what you mean by how we should keep the Sabbath? What do you mean by that?
How do we supposed to keep the Sabbath in light of what you're talking about in Exodus 20 and 11?
You mean like what we should do on the Sabbath? That's what you mean?
Yes.
All right. Brother Paul, answer that for me. What are we today as Christians supposed to do on the Sabbath, or how we are to keep the Sabbath?
Well, one thing Jesus said about the Sabbath, Jesus said it is good to do good on the Sabbath day. Now, some people take that text out of context and they say it is, what is needful is lawful. But Jesus never said that. He said, isn't it good to do good on the Sabbath day? It's a complete difference. Another thing the Bible says about the Sabbath, the Bible says you should not turn away your foot from the Sabbath and doing your own pleasures on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. For if you do that, the Lord will not hold you guiltless. He will hold you guilty for taking the Sabbath. You will find that in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. He warns us about taking the Sabbath as delight and speaking our own words and have our own pleasures. For example, if me and you should meet on the Sabbath day, we would not discuss fixing your vehicle or planning a trip to go away to the United States of America or to Russia or wherever. These things should be done away from Sabbath hours. The Sabbath is a full day for you and your Savior to reflect on what he has brought, where he has brought you from to where you are today. That's what the pleasure and the joy of the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, I don't understand why people don't want to really enjoy it. I mean, it's a spiritual holiday given to you by your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it just baffled my mind why people don't want to follow it. It isn't like he's asking you to go and lift 1 million barrels or build a new church or paint the government house. He's saying, put all those cares aside. Put all the bills and the newspaper and all the cares of life aside and come before me and worship in spirit and in truth. Well, There's just a flip side that they people try to do on Sunday, but it don't come off. Because when we go in the food store, there are people that are dressing their Sunday clothes going to church. But if you consider Sunday a holy day, then why don't you just shut the food stores down and just go to church? I mean, the Sunday church, I don't think I'll have a problem with that. If you shut down all the food stores and all the gas stations, we wouldn't have a problem with that, not at all. But notice now, we don't go downtown with our placards and say, let's shut down everything on Saturday so everyone can worship on Saturday. Why? Because Christ gave us a free will. So I don't know, probably just shut down everything on Sunday. If that's what the government want to do,
I'm trying to get at a particular point here, man.
Well, ask the point, sir.
The question is this. When I read Exodus 11.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I get the point of view from that the Sabbath was instituted as a day of rest. That's what Sabbath means. Cessation from work, rest. In fact, that's what you find down there in the rest of the commandment. Thou should do no work, not in 8th, 7th, 9th, 7th, or whatever. Should do no work. When was the Sabbath changed from rest to worship?
Jesus told his people to come before him and worship before him.
No. See, I don't want like that, man. I want you to give me a scripture in the Bible that could tell me, when was the Sabbath changed from rest to worship?
I mean, where did you read in the Bible that in the Old Testament? Let's go from the Old Testament point of view. And so in the Old Testament, you were saying you read in the Old Testament where people only used to just lay down and rest on the Sabbath. You read that in your Bible?
No, I'm saying, you know, and I know the Sabbath is man rest.
Meaning?
That's the meaning of Sabbath.
You mean there's two type of rest the Bible is speaking about there now.
It
spiritually
means what it says in Exodus, man. We're talking about what it says,
sir,
in Exodus 11.
So, I'm trying to get you to answer your own question. Please tell the nation, listen carefully now, please share with the nation where you read in the Old Testament or the New Testament where all God's people used during the Sabbath, it was just rest.
No. See, that ain't what I read. Yeah, I read in Exodus what God says in Exodus 11, thou should do no work.
Right.
Nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thy cattle. Nothing. Nobody's supposed to do no work.
And that's what we do, sir. Every Saturday, that's what we do.
Huh?
That's what we do every Saturday.
Yeah, but I'm asking you now.
Yes.
It's a difference between rest and worship.
Oh, so you want to know?
I'm saying there's a difference between rest and worship. I'm
okay.
When did the Sabbath change from rest to worship?
It was always the two, sir. The two go together. They can't be separated.
No.
Let's share.
You can't get us from Exodus.
I agree. Oh, don't laugh. That's not a laughing matter. Don't see. I agree you can't get that totally from Exodus chapter 20. And this is why the principle is laid down in the Bible. Here a little and there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And this is why people get themselves in problems, because they use one scripture to build a doctrine.
Yeah, because...
So even when Jesus walked upon the earth, Jesus had to rebuke the religious leaders in his day that they were keeping the Sabbath the wrong way.
And that's why
Jesus plucked corn on the Sabbath day. There's nothing wrong with eating corn on the Sabbath day.
There's no way in the Bible I read where God ever command anybody to worship him on the Sabbath day. Nowhere in the Bible.
Sir, you could go on believing that, but I let you know.
I believe in it. If you say it is true, then you could point to me a scripture on national radio where I am wrong.
Excuse me, sir.
You can point to me a scripture on national radio.
All right, the scripture coming to you right now. Just a second.
It's the one where Jesus said,
Could I read a scripture?
The command, yeah.
I don't know if you want to call it a command or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. A command to worship him. Commandment, man.
Could you listen to me for a minute?
Don't get out, because the fox ain't gonna change.
No, but you're talking about commandment.
No, could
give
I
me a commandment, man.
All right, you have another question you want to ask?
Yeah, I got another one.
What's the next one?
The other question I want to ask is, why wasn't the Sabbath given to the patriarchs to keep?
Which patriarchs are you talking about?
Which patriarchs, you know, the Bible.
Like Abraham?
Abraham. Jacob.
Abraham.
Sabbath wasn't given to them to keep?
Sir, it wasn't given to Abraham.
No, it wasn't given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm asking you why.
But it was.
No, they're telling me in the Bible where it was given to them.
Hold on a minute, sir. I'll get a text.
Hold on.
You have another question?
I mean, you're answering my question. Yeah, you want me to keep...
I've got
to keep some for next week.
No, because you just running on.
I'll tell you what.
We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to answer, then we can come back to you. Put him on hold.
Put me on hold.
Laugh.
The question is,
what people want to see, ladies and gentlemen, they want to see, okay, for example, there's nothing in the Bible that says, I cannot jump out a helicopter and kill myself. But the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. There's a principle there. There's nothing in the Bible that says that I should not smoke marijuana. But the principle is, thou shalt not kill. So people want to see the word, like the lady who called earlier, they want to see the word Saturday in the Bible. Well, the Bible never used the word Saturday. The Bible used the word the seventh day, which man attached the name Saturday. Now, the caller that is on hold is trying to say Abraham did not keep the Sabbath. Well, the Bible says Abraham kept all of his commandments and all of his statutes. That's in Deuteronomy. I'm going to try to find the scripture in a little while. I'm going to find it before we get off air. So if Abraham kept all of God's commandments on all of his statutes, then you must come to the conclusion that Abraham kept the Sabbath. If not, God could not say what he said about Abraham. See, ladies, this is not a trick, ladies and gentlemen. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, the Bible predicts that man will change the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 14, the Bible lays down a principle of two groups of people worshiping. It says a group of people are worshiping the Creator, and there's a group of people worshiping the beast and his image. And if every minister under the sound of our voice tonight, well, understand what those two scriptures of verse are saying there in Revelation chapter 14. They will all be trembling in their boots tonight. Because Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 7, is a very serious text. It says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she's made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Verse 9 says, the third angel followed, saying, if any man, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead, the same shall drink of the wine of God without mixture into his cup of his indignation. So we have two groups of people here worshiping. We have a group worshiping the Creator, and we have a group worshiping the beast and his image. Which group are you worshiping tonight? If you worship in the Creator, who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters, then that is a passage taken right from Exodus chapter 20. But if you worship in the beast in his image, which group of people are they? There are two groups. Are we going to follow the commandments of God, or are we going to follow the commandments of man? The caller asks another question. He asks, where in the Bible it shows that you should worship? Well, the Bible's writers say clearly that we should worship. We should worship him that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. That's the passage taken right out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 8, verse 20, quotes almost the exact same phrase, talks about the Creator. In Exodus chapter 20, it says, begin at verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Bible even also says that the Sabbath is given to a sign to God and his people. This is not a trick, ladies and gentlemen. For instance, the gentleman who is on hold, why don't he tell the nation why is he keep Sunday? What command do you have from the Bible to tell the nation that we should keep Sunday? And when we bring it back up, I want you to share the nation that scripture that Sunday is now a holy day. Tell us why that the people go to church on Sunday. When there's no command in the Bible telling that they should worship on Sunday. When we were here on September 11, I told the minister of the gospel who listened to us week after week that if we are saying something that's wrong, come to Mr. Anthony Foster and take us off here. If these biblical facts, if these church historical facts, and these facts based on the, are not true. You think we can become here as lay people just for the fun of it? These programs are not free. And no one ain't going to sponsor us because as far as they're concerned, we're talking nonsense. But let us be, I'm here jumping up and down and have the girls dance around a leotard and all this sorts of stuff. We'll have all kind of money. So much money that we won't know what to do with it. That's what you want. That's what you're going to get. It just reminds me of when Jesus says in his word that my people are itchy here. They want smooth things spoken unto them. Well, tonight, we want from the nation to show us where God has changed the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday. That's the meaning of this the study tonight. To share with the nation, based on your Bible, or your church historical facts or whatever, that God changed the way from Saturday to Sunday. Based on the facts, God did not.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Our telephone numbers to be reached this afternoon is 325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5405. And for those of you who want to call us from the family lines, is 1-242-300-8255. 3255. Go ahead, caller. Hello?
Yes?
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, I just want to say in regard to the previous caller's question, that the first answer, as far as I'm concerned, the Sabbath was given to the entire human race. That's why it was given in Eden, along with marriage, as well as work and a healthy diet. The second question relates to about worshiping on Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day for holy convocation, or other versions would put it as a religious gathering. And Jesus also worshipped on Sabbath, along with the Apostles Paul. Acts 13, I think it's Acts 18, Luke 4, 16. The final one I would like to say on that is, in Isaiah, our Savior, or the scripture says that we will worship in the new earth on the Sabbath. So the Sabbath was given for the entire human race rather than just the Jews, as it is commonly believed.
Thank you very much, caller.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much, caller. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to reach us, you could reach us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. Or those of you in the family of violence, you could reach us toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. That is 1-242-300-8255. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just about after our first hour. And we welcome the calls coming in. We welcome the questions and the comments. But what we ask you to do, try to keep your comments or questions kind of short, because we have the phone lines lighting up right now, and we can't take everybody at one time. Go ahead, Marlene. Make it brief, please. Go ahead.
I will.
Yeah.
Three comments on the question that was asked by the gentleman that's still holding on. First of all, I need you to write this question down because here's a very important question that one of your callers asked and you didn't answer, and I think you should. Who are God's chosen people? That's very important. Secondly, what he, the question he asked was, how do we keep the Sabbath? How do we keep? Here are just several suggestions. What are some of the things we can do on the Sabbath? I think is what he was gearing at. One, yes, we can rest. We can rest from work. That's fine. But when God created the Sabbath, he did not rest because he was tired at the end of creation. I think that many people confuse rest with physical rest. It was not a physical rest so much as it was he was resting on the Sabbath as a it was a rest of the spirit. And he shared his Sabbath rest with the entire human race. And that's why he did things like going about healing people on the Sabbath. It was important for him to help people. He was trying to get people to realize that it was not a day to just lay down in bed and play dead, okay? Or is you going to just lay out on the mattress and have church on mattress? No, it was not designed for that. We can do all kinds of things on the Sabbath day that will still bring honor and glory to God. We can go and help out at the children's emergency hostels, the Salvation Army. We can go to church. We are to gather together as a people because it is good for each other that we would come together as a people. Then there's another comment that he, on what he said about the Sabbath not being given to Abraham. My quote is this. Sabbath was not known, some people say Sabbath was not known at all until the time of the Israelites left Egypt. The Sabbath was first commanded at Sinai, they said. Therefore, that's where its observance originated. That's not true. The fourth commandment tells us to remember the Sabbath day. Obviously, no one can remember something that had not existed before. Is that clear?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, why would our Creator tell us to remember something if it didn't exist? Why would he... And the word remember bringing us closer home, meaning that we need to really, really search and see why is it that he's asking us to remember such a significant day, you know? So these are just some of the comments I had to make as I'm listening here on the phone by way of...
Thank you very much, Marlene.
Thank you for helping me to listen. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Our brother called, and he, I guess he left the line. He's no longer on the line, but... There's two texts I want to read for him, or I'll quote. I'll give him the text that he could read them and get the proper context. But the first one is Genesis 26, verse 5, and it says, "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So it's quite clear that the commandments were given to the patriarch. Because if it began to Abraham, and I think the Bible tells us that Abraham commanded his family to keep those things, so that was no problem. The other text is Luke 4:16, and it talks about Jesus said, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So I think if my brother would read those two texts, he would get an understanding that Sabbath is not just a day for resting, but a day that we have set aside, that God has set aside to be a holy day to worship him, because it says in Genesis that the Sabbath day was blessed and hallowed. Now, we go back to the phones right now. Yes, sir, go ahead. Go ahead. Call up. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, good night, Brother Paul, Brother Julian.
Yes.
I have a scripture in Jeremiah 18 for the gentleman who hung up. Yeah, it's a list of a couple of things that you could do on the Sabbath. One of them being in...
Jeremiah 18, what, sir?
Verse 26, well, from verse 23 and beyond, verse 26... Is one or two more things you could do on the Sabbath.
Read a couple for us, please. Read a couple for us. Read a couple things, it says, please.
will say, and they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places about Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings, and sacrifices, and meat offerings, and incense, and bringing sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. So that's one of the things that was being done on the Sabbath. And also in Acts chapter 15, verse 21, so that for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So as we see, the Sabbath day was a day of worship.
Thank you very much, caller.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Help us out right there. Thank you.